they're all locked in now.
You're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Brian Fisher is going to join us coming up here in a moment. We'll talk some football with him, NFL draft, all kinds of stuff going on. Again, writer for Athlon Sports and a good dude overall. We've had him on a bunch and knows his football for sure. So we'll chat with him coming up here in just a moment. We are just 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. 2 weeks from today, Zach Wilson will probably hear his name get called as the, I want to say, the number two overall pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, second overall pick and making BYU history and making a lot of money. And that's going to be a big, really big draft for BYU. And BYU needs this. It's been quiet for so many years. You know, just a player here and there. Very few multiple player drafts.
Yeah.
If any over the last 10 years. I can't even think of any over the last 10 or 15 years, there might be one in there, but, you know, I've got this, I believe it's a minimum of four. I think there's a chance for five. I think Wilcox could potentially be the fifth. It just depends on how much the NFL believes in what BYU was able to do in this crazy last football season and how much they believe in what those players were doing and what players were on the field as compared to what the schedule was, but they had an opportunity to see BYU more than any other program in the country. For a while, it was literally the only football program playing west of the Mississippi, or was it west of Texas?
I think it was west of the Mississippi, yeah.
The only football program, college football program playing west of the Mississippi. That was incredible, an incredible opportunity for BYU. And everybody maxed out. Except for Kalani, who hasn't gotten an extension over it yet. I'm hoping that something comes of that from BYU, but great job by these players.
Joining us now from Athlon Sports, NFL and college football columnist, also hosts the Going for Two podcast, Brian Fisher, kind enough to join us. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Staying pretty busy for this time of year.
Yeah, well, there's plenty going on for sure. Let's start with 2 weeks from today, the NFL draft. We're here in Salt Lake City. Is it a foregone conclusion that Zach Wilson's going to New York?
I think so. All signs have really kind of pointed that way. And, you know, with the trade of Sam Darnold, I think that almost solidified it, you know, not only in the minds of everybody around the league, but certainly in that front office in New York, that Zach Wilson's going to be the guy. They like what they have in him and building around him. You know, I think that's the whole key is to not have a repeat of the situation that happened with Sam Darnold, where you do have that quarterback taken in the top three, but you don't get him weapons. That is changing, I think, with Joe Douglas and what he's trying to do as the general manager of the Jets. And I think the more interesting thing about both the Jaguars and the Jets now in terms of the draft is not who they're taking with that first pick, but who they got with that second pick in the first round.
I worry about it a little bit. I think about, like, if Tom Brady or Brett Favre had been drafted by the Jets and they'd never put a piece around them and never gave them a chance to win. If those guys would be as great and Hall of Fame players that they have become based off the organization that drafted them, is there a real worry for that with the Jets, in your opinion?
I think so, but I think, you know, with regards to Zach Wilson, I think what helps him is, you know, Mike LaFleur's offense is really going to play up to his strengths. You know, it's not really an offense that's designed to almost at times like we saw at BYU where he kind of had to put everything on his shoulders. And so they're going to be able to lean on that running game. You know, they're going to be able to get a lot of weapons. They have a ton of draft capital, not just in this year's draft, but going forward the next couple of years. And when you're talking about adding wide receivers, when you're adding offensive linemen, you already got some good building blocks there, you know, in Mekhi Becton and some of the others. So I think it's a much better situation for, you know, Zach Wilson to walk into there in New York than we've seen in past years. And I think, honestly, that's the case with a lot of these guys. You know, whether you're Trevor Lawrence, you know, usually you're that number one pick. You kind of got to kind of carry the franchise a little bit. But he's got some skills, position talent down there in Jacksonville in terms of, you know, not only to throw to, but along the offensive line, a little bit better situation. You know, look at Miami. You know, look at Atlanta. You know, these quarterbacks are coming into the league now because there is so much more talent. You know, you've got guys around you that you can make plays. And it's no longer the case to where these franchises that are picking in the top 10 typically remain there because there is, you know, you're able to kind of spread the ball around and make that situation so much better for these rookie quarterbacks. And on top of them just being, you know, physically and mentally more prepared to play in the NFL nowadays.
So Trevor Lawrence will be off the board. Zach Wilson will most likely be off the board. San Francisco picks at number 3. They'll have their choice of Trey Lance, Mac Jones, or Justin Fields. We all envision they'll go quarterback. Which of those three do you think they go with?
Well, I mean, obviously the scuttlebutt for a long time, you know, has been Mac Jones. And I think if you're paying that premium to go up and get him, I think you've got to find a guy that has elite traits in terms of the quarterback position. And I think the ceiling for a guy like Justin Fields is high enough to where San Francisco is going to come to their minds, and maybe it's just kind of draft chatter that they were taking Mac Jones. But, you know, Justin Fields, when you compare him side to side, you know, with a guy like Mac Jones, I think, you know, he compares a lot, you know, really favorably, and he would be kind of my third guy. I think there could be some questions in terms of, you know, scheme fit, you know, with Trey Lance, and maybe he's kind of the guy with the elongated ceiling that he might have as both a runner and a passer. But I think it's that's really where the draft starts. Is what is San Francisco going to do? Which of those quarterbacks are they going to take? And then, you know, that's really kind of where the cards fall from there, because you look at Atlanta, obviously potentially in the quarterback market. You know, I think, you know, the Lions, I can't rule them out. You know, I think there's obviously been talk about Denver, you know, even New England coming up to get one of those big time quarterbacks. So just a fascinating year. And it really does kind of start with, which is the guy in San Francisco, and then what is Atlanta kind of going to do coasting off of that?
Compare this year's draft to potentially next year's draft as far as being flooded, being packed because of the weird extra year, the COVID situation. Would you rather be being drafted this year or coming out next year's draft?
Probably next year, just because there would be more information on a lot of guys. And I think you've heard that. Yeah, teams have kind of doubled down in terms of, you know, watching the film and really getting a good sense of these prospects, you know, as players on the film. But, you know, there's still, you know, kind of the unknown. And in fact, some simply haven't been able to kind of get out, you know, really to talk with their, you know, high school coaches. And yeah, you can do that over Zoom and all that, but kind of finding out, you know, how are these guys in the facility? That's still a great unknown for a lot of these franchises. And, you know, frankly, for a lot of these kids as well, you know, they're not crisscrossing the country, going to workouts, you know, performing for general managers like they normally would in other years, to where, you know, yeah, you can impress at the combine, you can put everything on tape, but, you know, sometimes it is as simple as, yeah, you go have one of those private workouts at these team facilities, and you do something that, you know, really catches the eye of the coaching staff, and it just takes one team to really fall in love with you. And that is kind of lost from the process these last 2 years. But I would imagine we've already kind of seen the NFL, you know, really pointing towards business as normal coming this fall, and I would assume that's going to be the case for next year's draft class as well.
Do you anticipate all five quarterbacks will be gone in, by pick 10?
I would think so, just because of, you know, you look at some of those quarterback needy teams, you know, kind of in that 10 to 20 range. I mean, you got to keep in mind Washington is out there as probably needing another young guy that can maybe make the move up there. So I think it's great, you know, if you're Carolina, if you're Detroit and you're not comfortable, you know, if you're Cincinnati and want to trade back, I think there are a lot of you know, willing draft partners. I think the key in my mind is, you know, what is that compensation going to be? You know, after we've already seen what San Francisco used to move up. And I just think everybody, you know, wants that franchise cornerstone. And so I think for a lot of these teams, they see four really good guys, and I think they're going to go after them if they start falling. And, you know, that's it's going to be the kind of story of the draft, is how these four to five guys are really going to kind of not only progress together in terms of their career, but you're really kind of compete off each other.
We talked about Zach Wilson being the second overall pick. I'm wondering if you're hearing any draft buzz about some of these guys I'll mention. Brady Christensen, the offensive tackle, Dax Milne, the receiver, Kyrus Tonga, the defensive tackle, Chris Wilcox, the corner, Matt Bushman, the tight end. Are you hearing any draft buzz about any of these other guys?
Yeah, you know, I think it's funny because, you know, Zach Wilson just takes up so much of the room in the air, right? You know, I mean, it's not only just the quarterback, but a guy that's kind of going, you know, that high. And I think Christensen, you know, probably is, you know, helped himself a little bit. I think he's probably a guy that can be as early as a day two pick. I think there, you know, are certainly teams that, you know, like some of those guys. I think Milne, I mean, I think everybody saw, you know, the tape and finding those slot guys. You know, I think this is a big draft for those type of receivers. And so I think he can kind of slot in there, you know, for teams that are looking to add weapons. I think this is a, you know, really when you look at the day two and day three picks, you know, I think a lot of teams are going to find some real gems. And maybe he's one of those guys. You know, if he finds the right offensive fit, you know, I think certainly having that connection with a quarterback, I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up in New York just because of that connection with Zach Wilson in one of those later round picks. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see because, you know, really, as much as you focus on the top guys, this is going to be a draft that when we look back, it's going to be dictated to who really emerges out of those kind of middle and late round picks.
You look at the landscape of college athletics, and we all knew this day was coming, and it might come as later as this afternoon where one free transfer is allowed for each player. Obviously, it's already college basketball. You've got 1,300 players in the portal right now. I imagine it's going to be the old Wild West for a while. Do you anticipate, though, that the dust will clear and it'll calm down a little bit in the next coming years, or do you anticipate it's going to be a free-for-all every year?
Yeah, I think, you know, just because of both the pandemic and obviously these rules changing, everybody's going to want to kind of explore and kind of push the limits a little bit. But ultimately, as we've seen, you know, really with a lot of these rule changes, you know, whether it's even been the transfer portal, you know, eventually it kind of evens out. And I think that is ultimately what is going to happen. Now, the one thing that I don't see changing necessarily is kind of this move. And, you know, it started a couple of years ago, certainly with Alabama being the kind of the biggest one to kind of push for this, but kind of having that second scouting department, not necessarily focused on those high school recruits, but, you know, really, you know, your own team and certainly some of the transfers out there, that's going to be a big time usage of all these analysts and you know, assistant coaches. You know, they're going to be focusing on talent acquisition. And to, you know, I think that is not going away. You know, you can be a minor guy, and if you're not getting playing time, I would imagine that you know, a lot of these schools, you know, it's going to be okay. You know, if you finish second in recruiting, you know, it used to be that was not a good place to be, but you know, with the transfer portal, you know, I think it could be an opportunity for a lot of these guys who arrive on campus and it's not, you know, really what they expected, to go back out there and find the right fit. And I think coaches are going to, you know, kind of take advantage of it. The key in my mind, though, is we're looking at a big little scholarship crunch these next couple of years, because all those guys got the extra year. How is that going to affect a lot of these programs around there? And are we going to just simply see, you know, fewer high school guys kind of get those big time offers because of not only guys coming back to schools, transfers, you adding in? That is the real roster management question that I think is going to take a couple of years to play out. And then we're going to kind of start to see things even back out to where it's almost a new normal.
I'm interested in 10 years from now running a study on percentage of transfers that get drafted into the NFL. Do you see any trends where NFL teams are as likely to draft a transfer as they are a guy that will stay with his organization? I guess we probably haven't had enough time to really even pick up on trends in that area.
Yeah, I think it's still early, but I mean, obviously, you know, I don't think that's dissuading the NFL, you know, at all. I mean, you know, Kyler Murray's a number one pick. Baker Mayfield's a number one pick. Those guys transferred. Justin Fields is probably going to be a top five or 10 pick. So I don't think it's kind of the black mark that it used to be, for a lot of these NFL franchises. Now, I think, when you look at guys transferring, multiple high schools and all that, maybe that is more the red flag from the college level on up. But, to be honest, I don't think it's that big of a deal at all, from the NFL teams, that they want to see these guys play. And so I think if it's a guy transferring for the right situation, maybe it's to be closer to home. Maybe it's to, there was a coaching change that just brought in a different system. It's not the black mark that it used to be. And so I think these NFL franchises have come around to it. And I think they're learning, as we go. And really, it's just kind of more work on them, because they kind of get to do extra background on not just one school, but two schools now.
Well, we appreciate your time. Always good to catch up with you. Thanks for making taking a few moments out of your day, and look forward to catching up again here really soon.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Next couple of weeks are going to be a lot of fun, seeing what's coming down the pipeline. And again, as you mentioned, it's going to be a weird stretch here, as we try to figure out this one free transfer. I'm glad the kids get opportunities. I do think that there could have been better ways to get around this. But here we are. I think
there's going to be a lot of kids that injured themselves.
I do too. And that's the thing. I think there's going to be, there's 1,300 kids in the college basketball portal. Those kids, probably all of them, entered the portal thinking that their phone was going to be ringing like crazy as soon as they entered that portal. And there's a lot of them that are now probably not going to get scholarships because there's not enough scholarships to go around.
It's always the kids who pay.
The kids who pay.
They pay with maize. They pay without a scholarship.
I think it's going to be a rough deal. Look, I think if a coach leaves or a coach gets fired, those kids should be able to transfer without any penalty. I also think that I don't mind a team being forced to offer a four-year guaranteed scholarship instead of a year-to-year scholarship. And if you get one of those four-year scholarships, then you can't transfer. If you get a year-to-year scholarship, you can't transfer. I think there were ways that we could have mitigated some of this stuff instead of just – open up the floodgates and say, off you go. But here we are.
I think it's going to force coaches to be maybe a little bit more accommodating. But then again, maybe it doesn't, because they feel like they've got the transfer portal to pull talent from.
You look at there's two big moves today. Raleigh Wooster leaves Utah State, goes to Utah. Ryan Odom, the head coach at Utah State now, goes to UMBC and pulls their best player to go to Utah State. I mean, it's, the circle of life, I guess. I don't know, but here we go.
Well, I do think that it'll force universities to look a little bit closer at letting their coaches go. It's going to be really difficult because, let's say, what's the comparison again? Okay, let's say Blake Anderson over the next 3 years has a one-loss season and two undefeated seasons. And he builds this quarterback, and he builds this center, and he builds a linebacker. These three guys that are kind of the cornerstones. Let's say a Chucky Keaton, a Bobby Wagner, and who's Stevens? Who was that center I liked? Something Stevens.
Yeah, I forget his name. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was a great center. Yeah. Okay, let's say he builds it. He has these great seasons, and all of a sudden the University of Utah.
Tyler Larson. Yeah.
Let's say the University of Utah calls, and they're like, hey, Blake, Kyle Whittingham's retiring, and we want you to come down. Well, Blake's going to go to Utah State and be like, well, got this offer, very interested in it, and I think that there's a couple of issues with this, because if he moves to Utah and has the chance to take his quarterback, his center, and his linebacker, and they'd be interested in it.
Yeah,
going up to the Pac-12, and man, I think some people might be like, "Well, that would never happen." I think
it's happening right now.
I think it's going to happen.
It's happening right now in college basketball. It happens all the time.
Like, somebody's going to bring Jay Hill away from his FCS longtime standing at Weber State into an FBS, and let's say that Davis and Rashid Shaheed are just juniors. He's going to bring them with him. going to bring him with him? Yeah. Be like, hey, guys, let's go to BYU or let's go to New Mexico or, you know, whatever the case might be. There are going to be some.
I don't think anybody wants to go to New Mexico.
In fact, I guarantee you New Mexico's tried to offer him like 8 times. And they're like, come on, Jay, what can we do? Jay's like.
Like not be in New Mexico?
Move from Albuquerque?
Yes.
Oh, but the food's so good there, Jay.
It is, man.
That's some good Japanese steakhouses.
No, there's no good teppanyakis there. There's no good teppanyaki.
It was pretty good.
No, it wasn't. You didn't. You don't even believe that.
Some of the best food I've ever eaten in my life was downtown Albuquerque. It really was. I mean, I'm not even kidding. It was the only thing that was in downtown Albuquerque other than a guy that was hanging by a belt loop from a dumpster, which was awkward.
What? Wait, yeah. What? I don't know if I've heard this story.
Oh, I told you that story. So Dr. Peter Fisher.
Yeah.
And my old co-host, OC, and I come rolling into Albuquerque. And
did you drive from Salt Lake to Albuquerque?
Yeah. Yeah. We
for a football game or what?
Yeah, for the New Mexico Bowl, BYU.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
There was
okay.
A UTEP or something.
Yeah.
And we're come driving into Albuquerque, and there's this beautiful city park that's, you know, right there at the opening part of Albuquerque. And right there on a dumpster was a guy that was just hanging dead limp by a belt loop from the top part of a dumpster.
Yeah, did you check him?
Was he dead?
We didn't know at that point.
Or was
no.
he mostly dead?
I don't know. But
you go take a stick?
I didn't.
Hey, mister.
What we did was we thought to ourselves, let's just let nature take
You didn't
its
check
course.
On him?
No, it's...
Why would you not?
Well, what if it's a guy that meant to be hanging there, and then he's uncomfortable with
Yeah, I'm pretty
with
sure
us
he really, did not mean to be hanging from a belt on a garbage can,
hey, can
on
you
a
give
dumpster.
Me a boost? I got to get up on this.
I didn't want to embarrass him and be like, hey, mister, you're hanging by a belt loop on a massive dumpster. Can we help you? I was intentionally doing this, and I'm offended by...
Yes.
I like how you're respecting this man's privacy. You know, that's admirable for you. Appreciate that.
We were concerned. We were more mystified than concerned.
Hey, mister, did you know you're hanging from a dumpster?
We wanted to call the Chamber of Commerce and say, nice little touch that you got.
You're like Jerry O'Connell over there. Hey, you want to see a dead body?
Opening part of Albuquerque. Come on down.
All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. Tim's with us from RGS Exteriors. Let's talk a little bit about these because this is something I've been looking at for a while. These rain gutter screens, essentially. If you got a lot of trees around your house, you're tired of cleaning out those rain gutters every year, you get these screens and, frankly, never have to clean these things ever again.
Yeah, absolutely. If we put the right one on, you're going to be done forever. But it's important to do that, to do your research. There's really only about two or three, maybe four, that really do work. And unfortunately, they're all on the higher end price-wise. But if you want a good quality product that works and lasts, there are out there. The one thing I would caution anybody, you know, of course we'd love the business, but even if it's not us, just stay away from these national companies. There's a few of them, I won't name them, but there's a few national companies that come in and they act like they're from Salt Lake, but they're not. And they're only here for 2, 3, 4
yeah.
years, make a lot of money, and then they bounce. Well, the problem with that is if you ever have any issues or problems, there's no service.
They're probably
there's
calling no you guys needing some help.
There's a few times where we've actually had that, where these national companies have actually called us to go service them because they just don't have anybody here, you know, and they don't anyway. So just be careful. Just always hire somebody local. You know, we've talked about it before. We're really proud of the fact that we're from Utah. We only work here in the Utah, and we've been doing it for 5 generations. So we're not going anywhere. We've been here a long time, and you can guarantee that we're going to be here to take care of your service and warranty work.
And the other thing, too, that we can't stress this enough. If there's you said you've got $500 jobs, $100 jobs, and you've had $500,000 jobs, whatever anybody needs, you can get it taken care of, whatever
yeah.
the budget is.
That's right, yeah. I mean, really. And you know, this is just nothing to do with our company, but one thing that too many times homeowners are afraid to tell the contractor what their budget is, it's actually really good to be up front both ways. Because if we know kind of your budget and what you want to do, we can reverse engineer that job to get it to there. And so, you know, we may think that you have a $10,000 budget where you have a $5,000 budget, or we may think you have a $10,000 budget, but you have a $20,000 budget. So if we can have an honest, open dialogue with each other from the get-go, then we can really tailor-made the job to be exactly what you want and need. But it just all starts with that first conversation when our estimators come out and look at your home and talk about it.
Because you may have a vision, your wife may have a vision, but that vision and budgets may not line up.
That's right. And we don't know. Right? We don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows what they don't know until we sit down and we talk. And look, we can have honest, frank conversations, and we can just tell you, hey, Mrs. Jones, that's well within your budget. In fact, we can even do more for that. Or Mrs. Jones, unfortunately, that's not in your budget, but let's do this so we can make it
exactly.
in your budget. So, you know, it's just all about having conversation, being honest, open. And the biggest thing is you just want to find somebody you can trust. And it's so hard today that who can you trust? You know, is it Slicky the siding salesman, or is it somebody that you can trust? And we really, really try hard to be that company you can trust. And even if you don't hire us, that's okay. If we can come out and give you some good information and educate you and get you where you want to go, look, every customer may not be a fit for us. But if we can guide you and direct you and get in the right direction, that's what we're here for, and that's what we want to do.
I think the education is a really important thing, too. Just, you know, find out where you're at. Find out what you guys can do and have some good open conversations and get your house looking the way it needs to look.
Look, that's the idea. I mean, obviously, we want to make your home look good. We want you to be able to pull up in your driveway and be excited about coming home. And that's the ultimate goal. But really, to get there, there's some steps that we need to do to do it right. And if we can be honest and frank and just transparent with one another, it's so much better. And our company is not a high-pressure sales. There's a lot of guys out there. You know, you've seen the Tin Man. It's an old movie about a siding salesman, if you've ever seen that, right? They're high-pressure sales guys. That's not us.
Yeah.
What we're all about is we're going to come and just educate. Our whole sales process is all educational-based, period. It's just open dialogue, educate you, teach you what's available, and then hopefully, you know, you and your significant other can make the right choice, what's going to be best for you and your home.
801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. Make that phone call right now. Get on the schedule. Have somebody come out and take a look at your place. 801-280-3110 right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Slow Mo Joe.
The Joe Ingles Show with DJ and PK.
Joe, I got to tell you, man, if anybody out there says anything that makes DJ angry, that makes me angry. How much fun did you have with all that?
To me, it's a cool part of the game, to be able to go out there and not disrespect anyone, but just to have fun and talk a bit of smack. It's fun.
So I know there's a lot of fun in it, but I got to say, when I think you're telling someone to bleep off, it doesn't feel like there's that much fun in it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never swore during a game in my life.
Your nose is screwed, Joe.
Must be the accent. My lips must read different.
They go the other way because you're from Australia.
Yeah, you meant to read it backwards.
Okay, we'll go with that. That's your story and you're sticking to it.
I've always been a I'm friendly, but I can be a bit of an too.
Oh, yeah.
Catch Jazzman Joe Ingles with DJ and PK every Thursday morning on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall. Did you miss the big topic of the day, the big interview? Or maybe you missed another of the guy's shenanigans? Recall. It's time to recall all the great and not so great moments of the show. Recall. It's Total Recall with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Recall.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. He doesn't know, does he?
No, not yet. He will.
Yeah, he will. All right.
Just feels good.
How you doing, Lloyd? You good?
What is going on? What just happened?
Apparently you haven't hopped on Twitter.
Oh. So many years of having pictures of my frosted tips. My frosted tips posted as an avatar and me as a Sasquatch through the trees posted as an avatar. I finally get a lovely school picture.
Where did you get this?
What looks to be, what, a 14-year-old? 12?
That might be 15 or 16, maybe?
Is that taken by a family friend?
No, that one's not.
That is a young, that is a very, very young Lloyd Cole. And Lloyd, I sent this out because this is kind of a commemoration of our 13 years together on air, with just a couple years in between. But I think it was 2007 or 2008. And I just thought this would be a nice picture to commemorate.
Where did you get this?
One of your old classmates sent it to me.
Oh, that is funny.
Scott, I appreciate you finding this amazing picture of our producer.
Not this Scott.
This is a different Scott.
I know who it is.
It was a classmate of Lloyd's, and he was going through his yearbook and found this picture and sent it on over to me, and I do appreciate that. Might be my avatar for a little while.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Hey, not a bad picture. I mean, it's definitely a...
The hair's...
About a 93, 94 haircut, for sure.
Really high and tight there, Lloyd.
Very high. Yeah, a little shaved up. It was something.
And you kind of have a... That's a long neck. Yeah, I didn't realize your neck was that long.
Well, yeah, but now it's just gotten fatter, so it doesn't quite look the same.
You still got that charming smile on you, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right, time for Total Recall, looking back at some of the big moments of today's show. Let's start with the one-time transfer rule. We'll be put in place probably later today, where players can transfer without having to sit out a year. And you had an interesting thought on how this could affect BYU.
I think that this one-time free transfer, I think, could change things with the way BYU handles the honor code.
Really?
Specifically with their athletes. Although I do think it's gotten a lot better since I was there, and it needed to get better. I feel like this is going to kind of press them a bit to, not more lenient, but to figure out better ways to try to correct behavior, if that's the extent of what the honor code is trying to do. Does this make sense?
Yeah, no, I think it's a really interesting point and probably something we should have thought of earlier, because even if it's not a full year, because if it's a full year, you know, I think kids were thinking about jumping anyway, because like, well, if I'm going to sit out a year, I might as well sit out and transfer. But even if, like, let's say you have to miss 3 or 4 games to start a season or something like that, if you can immediately play somewhere else, then you're like, I'm out. I'm gone. You know, I'm not going to miss 3 or 4 games because of this or because of this that I can do at any other school in the country. I'm out.
I remember the first time that I was brought into the honor code office and blindsided by an accusation. And I remember instantly thinking, how is this possible? Like, somebody can just come in and they can tell these people that I did something or that I violated the honor code, and they're not even asking if I did it. They're just saying, hey, we know what you've done.
Kind of just told you did it.
Yes, and there are serious consequences attached to this. And I was fully committed to BYU, fully committed to Lavelle and Tom Ramage, and that wasn't going to change. And I was putting myself back in those Hans Olsen shoes in the 1990s when things were different. And I was thinking, if I had a free transfer, would I leave? Would I have left it in that moment? Would I have left after the second or third issue with the honor code?
Also, if you were in the current, you know, because you have a certain level of pride in that, and you grew up in the era where nobody transferred.
Yeah.
It was unheard of. But if you were 19-year-old Hans Olsen in 2021, where it was so commonplace to transfer, and you grew up in this era where transferring is not looked down upon, it's part of just, you know, the landscape of college athletics, you might not have that same level of, oh, I can't do that. That's not what I do.
So I'm gonna come from this is my own personal angle, which is probably very different from anybody else's perspective. So if I had the similar relationship with my head coach and my position coach, if I had that similar relationship and I had the similar desire to try to better myself, because I really did want to be a better person, even though a lot of the accusations that were put against me were false, I wanted to be a better person. So if I still had the support system of guys like Chris Hoke and, you know all those teammates.
Yeah.
If I still had that support system and I had Tom Ramage and Lavelle Edwards, who I had great relationships with, even now, because I would have wanted to better myself, if they handled it the way they did then, even now I think I'd stay. Because I really did have a desire to be a better person. You know, I wanted to improve in all areas of my life. And so I think I would have stayed. Plus, I was a starter.
Yeah.
You know, I was a starter as a sophomore.
But if you felt like playing time was about to be taken away from you, or you were going to be suspended for...
Then that might have been different. Because you bring up a good point. I was never suspended. But two of my best friends on that team were suspended for an entire year. And I remember one of them in particular coming into the locker room just having found out, and because I'm not using his name, I'll tell you what it was. It was premarital sex. And he had just found out that he was being suspended for the year. He was not going to be able to play the year. And tears just coming down his face and, you know, thoughts of disappointing his family and thoughts of disappointing himself. And and I remember being caught in that emotion at that point and thinking, oh, gosh, what are we dealing with here? Like, how can it be this harsh and this hard? And it was pretty devastating. And I think in that moment, I think he probably would have transferred.
Yeah.
So my point is, Scotty, what about that guy that is a non-LDS football player or basketball player that did sign his name to the honor code, and everybody says, well, you signed your name on it. You know exactly what you got into. No, you don't. You've got an idea what you're signing. You don't realize that somebody could just walk up and throw an accusation on you, and you could be found guilty until you prove yourself innocent. There were some harsh realities to that whole thing that you deal with that are outside of what you actually put your name on.
There you go. BYU might have some decisions to make in terms of maybe how they impact that or how the honor code affects things.
You know, the lasting comment on that I want people to remember, because people will take it out of context, I'm sure, is that honor code, if used the right way, that honor code could be a benefit. It could be a support system. It could be a beautiful reminder of why you chose to go to that university.
Yeah.
If used the right way. If used the way it's been used in years past, it's a deterrent. It's a negative. It hurts kids. It hurts their future. It hurts their image. It hurts the way people look at them or the way they feel about themselves. If it's used the right way, it can reinforce their testimony. It can reinforce their decision to come to that university. It can reinforce their decision to be a better person. And it could be for the better. I don't know how to do that, but I do think that they're making the right steps to do that.
All right, wrap things up. Get you ready for the big show next, right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Big Show.
The Big Show.
With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Our friend Dirk Facer on with us, spring ball, wrapping up with Utah. How open is the quarterback competition going to be in fall camp?
It really depends on Cam Rising's health. If he's not good to go with that shoulder, then I don't think there's a competition at all. Just like spring ball, Charlie Brewer's getting most of the reps. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens this fall based on Rising's health. They're saying right now that it's going to be an open competition. You know, in this world of Zoom conferences and not being able to watch practice, I guess we've got to take them at their word. It's an open competition, but the Brewers statistics have got a great insurance policy there.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Looking in your eyes, I see a
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show, Hans and Scotty. Johnny's rendition of the of this classic.
It always puts me in a good mood. I hope everybody enjoys this beautiful Thursday. This is my kind of weather. I love it. You can tell I was in a great mood all day.
Yep.
Makes me feel comfortable, loved, warm, welcome. It's everything about it.
This is our weather right
here. It's our weather, man.
Our dudes.
I wake up and I see dark clouds and a little drizzling, and I'm just like, it's going to be an amazing day. My wife is like, this is horrible. I'm like, it's an amazing day.
Yeah.
You just wait, Dad. I'm going to come home with a little city that you and I can have all by ourselves.
Now we're talking. When it's sunny in 98, no, that's not our weather. We're not made for that weather.
Did you notice how you and I were chewing on those rib bones just a little bit more barbaric? Like,
yeah, that's our heritage right there. Nordic people, man. They get every little less piece of that meat they possibly can.
If anybody could have seen us, Tim was kind enough to bring in some great food for us and had some ribs. And Scotty and I, instead of grabbing the bone with the pointer finger and thumb, actually had it in the entire palm.
And one in each palm.
And after we finished it, we threw it to the dogs.
Yeah.
And they fought at it. And then we put our crowns of horn back on and jump back on.
Jump in the boat to go invade another city. Oh, man. Well, Tim, we appreciate you letting us hang out here, man. We stink up the joint a little bit, but we appreciate you letting us hang out and have some fun.
No, hey, it's our pleasure. We enjoy having you guys out. Good group of guys, and we appreciate what you do for us. And we love the opportunity to help our listeners. It's a win-win for all of us.
It's a win for us because we know that when you're called out on a job for our listeners, we know they're going to be happy, taken care of. You know, you were talking about some of the things that slip through the crack. Not every job goes perfectly. It's just not the world we live in. Employees make mistakes. Maybe there's something that was behind the wall that nobody got to see, and there could be an issue. The thing I love is the backing that you provide. You're not going to leave any job unfinished. It's just not going to happen.
It's not. And look, I'm not going to tell you. If you go look at us on Google, I mean, like 95% of our reviews are 5-star. But we have a couple, you know, bad ones. And some of them are legitimate. Some of them aren't. But the reality of it is even those 1-star on Google, like the customers that aren't happy, we still did everything to make it right. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what we do. We are never going to leave a customer high and dry, which is not us. It's not who my great-grandpa was, my grandpa, you know, senior. You guys have all met my dad. Tim Senior, it's not what he did. It's just not our company. It's not our culture. So, yeah, we're going to be here. We're going to be here for another, I don't know, maybe another 5 generations. Maybe we've got Little Rock's kids coming, taking care of it. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe some of Scotty's kids, some of Johnny's kids here. Well, who knows?
Let's roll. Let's have some fun. The great thing is, though, if it's anything on the outside of your house, whatever design, whatever you're looking to do, you guys can get it done.
That's right. Anything to do with gutters, stucco, siding, Saba fascia, you name it, we're here. Just literally anything on the outside of the home, we just want to take care of that. And let's make your home nice, upgrade it. Let's stay where you're at, upgrade your home, and let's help you out.
Let's all start with one simple phone call, 801-280-3110. It's 801-280-3110. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, RGS Exteriors. Again, that number, 801-280-3110. Big show coming up next.